Before we start, I want to let you know today's episode contains depictions of sexual assault. Thanks for listening.
I told my mom, and then we told USA Gymnastics, and to me, it seemed like they threatened me to be quiet. You know, their biggest priority from the beginning and still today is their reputation, the medals they win, and the money they make off of us. I don't think that they care.
That was gold medalist Ali Reisman condemning USA Gymnastics for allowing Dr. Larry Nassar, the former national team doctor, to sexually abuse her and hundreds of other gymnasts. In the 2 years since then, as the organization has spiraled into disarray, ESPN's John Barr has been reporting the story. Today, he discusses his findings, how the officials tasked with overseeing the sport enabled Nassar by looking the other way, and whether they're doing enough to prevent something like this from happening again. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Tuesday, January 21st. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Indeed.
The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hi, John. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Mina. Appreciate it.
John Barr is an investigative reporter for ESPN, and along with Dan Murphy, is a co-author of the new book, Start by Believing, which covers the Larry Nassar scandal.
John, the Larry Nassar story first came to light in 2016 when the Indianapolis Star broke the story, when Rachel Denhollander came forward.
I was just after my 15th birthday when I began seeing him, and it was also for a back injury. And he would penetrate me repeatedly during these procedures for extended periods of time. And there was external genitalia contact. There was a time he went up my shirt. Things that are very outside the bounds of medical context.
When you first started reporting on it, what were you looking for?
Well, the thing that was fascinating to me from the outset was, who else did he do this to? You know, we were hearing these unconfirmed reports that there were several high-profile Olympians, and then you look at the arc of his career and realize how long he had access to America's top gymnasts, and you just wondered in your mind how many other women are out there. And after Rachel Denhollander courageously came forward, we saw by the day more and more reports coming in to the Michigan State University Police Department. So I had been doing a story about hazing, violent hazing in high schools. And as fate would have it, one of the attorneys I was dealing with was in the same law firm where one of the partners wound up representing more than 180 victims of Larry Nassar. And so when that story was coming in for a landing, before the initial Indianapolis Star report came out, I actually got a press release from this law firm talking about this anonymous Olympian from 2000 who alleges that she was touched inappropriately by the national team's doctor. And Mina, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I was so swamped with this other project, I gave it to the news desk and I said, hey, you guys might want to look into this. Turns out that was the beginnings of the Larry Nassar case.
So back in 2016, 2017, when you first started to dig into this story, how did you approach it?
We went back, you know, by that point, Dan Murphy, major shout out to Dan, my co-author on the book. He's based up in Ann Arbor. And this story just sort of took off. And Dan realized that there were elements of it that he could chase because of his presence in Michigan. I'm based just outside of Philadelphia. So together, the two of us just chipped away and worked at this story.
What did you find?
Well, what always fascinated me was just the fact that this culture, this abusive culture of gymnastics hadn't changed, despite red flags right, left, and center. In very large part, there at the elite levels of gymnastics, there was abusive culture. And that is the culture that allowed Larry Nassar to thrive. And it was there was no better example of that than TwistStars USA Gymnastics, which was a gym in the Lansing area run by former national team coach John Gettert. You know, on Monday evenings, Larry Nassar had a room in the back. There was nothing fancy about it. It was a room full of cleaning supplies, and he had a training table there. And parents would sign their kids up for an opportunity to go get treated by the doctor who treated Olympians. And, you know, John Gettert, the coach right outside the door, was, by all accounts, abusive, physically abusive, emotionally abusive. He routinely body shamed women. And I should point out that John Gettert now is under an active investigation by the Michigan Attorney General's office. It's been going on for more than a year. There are accounts of him walking in while Nassar was, you know, I hate to be graphic, but massaging the bare breasts of minor gymnasts. This is a guy who created this atmosphere of intimidation and fear. And within that environment, Larry Nassar, in that back room, became the good guy. He became the comforting counterweight to Gettert and his sort of reign of terror.
So, John, it's been about 2 years since the sentencing hearing of Larry Nassar, the one that the entire world saw.
Sir, I'm giving you 175 years, which is 2,100 months. I just signed your death warrant.
He has been sentenced to over 100 years in prison, which I think to some people seemed like the end of the story. But many people, myself included, wondered, how was he able to get away with it for so long? And I don't think we've gotten complete answers there. But you've been reporting on that very question for a while now. And what have you found?
Well, we found that the organization that employed Larry Nassar as its national medical coordinator, USA Gymnastics, went to even greater lengths than we were aware of to conceal the story about his sexual assaults on gymnasts. In the summer of 2015, when the organization first became aware of it, we recently reported a story for ESPN that was based on previously unreported documents and interviews. Among them, an email that Steve Penny, the then CEO and president of USA Gymnastics, received from his attorneys advising him in the Nassar case.
What did the new information reveal?
So just to give folks a sort of a very quick timeline of events, USAG first found out about Nassar's treatment sessions in June of 2015. And they realized then that gymnasts were complaining that, you know, he was touching them inappropriately during purported treatment sessions. So rather than reporting that to police, as is required under Indiana law, which is where USAG is based, they hired a workplace harassment investigator who then proceeded to go on about a 5-week internal investigation. And after her interview with a gymnast, who we now know was Michaela Maroney, a 2012 gold medalist in London, after that interview, the investigator shared very graphic details of what Maroney told her with USAG leaders, including Steve Penny. Penny had notes in his possession in late July of 2015, where it was very clear that Maroney said Nassar touched her in a way that gave her no therapeutic effect. She felt he was getting sexual gratification from it. Attorneys for USA Gymnastics communicated with Steve Penny and essentially said, you know, at this point, Nassar hadn't been fired, hadn't been charged, hadn't been dismissed, and they didn't know what to do with the guy. The attorneys said to Penny, look, we can come clean at this point and divulge what we know about Nassar, but that's likely to create negative publicity for us and for him. So they recommended to Penny that they reach back out to Nassar and tell them that a replacement will handle the world championships and they will work on quote-unquote messaging relating to that. So it was just yet another indication to us that this is an organization that was more concerned with messaging, it was more concerned with avoiding bad publicity than it was coming clean. And what was the result of that? Well, the result of that was Larry Nassar kept his job at Michigan State University, where he was an osteopathic physician, and he continued to sexually assault young women for nearly a year.
Did you bring these findings to Steve Penny or USA Gymnastics? And if so, what did they say?
We did manage to reach out to Steve Penny through his personal attorneys, and he wouldn't do an interview on the phone, wouldn't allow us to record an interview, but he was willing to answer through his attorneys a fairly extensive list of questions. And it's really the first time that we've heard from Steve Penny, who remains under indictment. He was indicted by a Walker County, Texas grand jury in 2018. That indictment is relating to his order to remove documents from the famed Caroli Ranch, which was the longtime training facility for USA Gymnastics, documents that were related to Larry Nassar. He has essentially said that, and this is interesting, his attorneys and his position is that in the summer and fall of 2015, he did not have an unambiguous claim of sexual assault. Well, if you read the notes that we got a hold of, the description of what happened to Michaela Maroney, by any measure, sounds like a fairly unambiguous claim of sexual assault. It falls apart on the face of it when you look at the notes that were in his possession. The bottom line is this, Mina. The statute of limitations on prosecuting Steve Penny for failure to report has long since run. So that ship has sailed. Where he's going to be held to account, the survivors hope, is in the civil cases.
Coming up, what the future holds for USA Gymnastics.
Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT, the most trusted name in security. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. ADT has HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors, all connected to 24/7 monitoring and controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. So help protect your home today with ADT. Learn more at ADT.com/podcast.
Your book details a few points at which this could have been stopped. Changes were proposed at USA Gymnastics. Why weren't they implemented? What happened?
Well, you know, the survivors have for several months now championed the mantra that USA Gymnastics was concerned about two things, money and medals. And when you look at the historical record, it's really hard to argue that point. So in the mid-90s, USA Gymnastics did embark upon a very well-intentioned athlete wellness program. There was a woman named Nancy Thies Marshall. She was a former Olympian. She was a member of the 1972 Olympic team. And she was named the vice chair of the athlete wellness program in 1994. And there were a number of stories that made the public around that time, numerous cases where coaches, notably Bella Caroli, body-shamed gymnasts routinely, case after case after case of gymnasts who developed brutal eating disorders. And so Nancy Thies Marshall was tapped to try to change all of that, okay? One of the things Nancy Thies Marshall was most encouraged about was a mentorship program. And the idea behind it was an existing national team member would have been paired with a former national team member. And that former national team member could serve as sort of a big sister. who, you know, the younger gymnast might confide in. So this mentorship program, she really had high hopes that it would take hold and help these young gymnasts have a sympathetic ear, because in the intimidating culture of these gyms, the last thing they wanted to do was to complain to their coaches, right? Well, what happened? USA Gymnastics had a couple disappointing showings at Worlds in the late 90s. Bella Caroli, essentially given supreme authority, if you will, he was named the national director in charge of the women's program. They then went to a semi-centralized system where one time a month, if you were on the national team, you had to go to the Crowley Ranch. And it was around that time, around 2000, that Nancy Thies Marshall was informed that they were slashing her budget for the athlete wellness program in half. When they slashed her budget, she realized, you know what? I'm not going to stick around and be the token Olympian to give you guys public relations cover. I'm out. So she quit. And, you know, the mentor program went away. And essentially the Carolis were given ultimate control over the direction of the program.
Didn't USA Gymnastics recently announce that they are finally trying to hire a new wellness position?
They did, yeah. And they hired a woman named Kim Krantz, who has impressive credentials. She's 25 years working in physical therapy. She's specialized in sports nutrition and positive coaching. So look, I applaud USA Gymnastics for doing this, but I can tell you that there are a number of people who say, what took you so damn long?
Today, Larry Nassar is in prison. As you mentioned, Steve Penny has been charged. But what about USA Gymnastics, John? What is the state of that organization?
Well, they have a new president who recently came out with a, you know, a statement talking about how much she hopes that they can settle the claims with survivors that are outstanding. There are currently more than 500 survivors of Larry Nassar who have outstanding civil claims against USA Gymnastics. USA Gymnastics has declared bankruptcy. That bankruptcy case is grinding along, and those civil cases are sort of at a standstill until the bankruptcy case is resolved. But effectively, you know, on some level, Mina, the organization has been rendered kind of meaningless, you know? Simone Biles, who may be small in stature, but when she speaks, boy, does she carry a lot of weight. You know, it was around the time of that historic sentencing that you alluded to some time ago that Simone Biles came out publicly and said, look, I don't know why I should have to go back to the place where I was sexually assaulted, referencing the Crowley Ranch. Within, I think, 24 to 48 hours, USA Gymnastics announced that it had severed its ties with the Crowley Ranch.
Some breaking news tonight. The Crowley Ranch in Texas is being closed, effective immediately, for the nation's elite female gymnasts. Last year, USA Gymnastics said it would leave the lease early, but the decision today shows increased urgency. The news is no doubt a relief for athletes like Simone Biles, who expressed concern about returning to a place where she says she was abused.
Look, the organization is struggling to stay afloat financially. I think it's struggling for relevancy. But, you know, until those cases are resolved, until the bankruptcy is resolved, its future is very much an open question.
Your book, really, all of your work on this issue has detailed the ways in which Larry Nassar was enabled, how people and institutions, adults overlooked red flags or didn't implement changes that could have stopped this from happening. Do you think any of that has been fixed?
God, I hope so. You know, there's kind of two schools of thought, Mina. One is that Larry Nassar's gone, you know, in prison. He'll die in prison. The Carolis are gone. The word is out that these abusive coaches just, you know, won't be tolerated anymore. So we're good, all good. But we're still seeing complaints about abusive coaches, physically and sexually abusive coaches. The U.S. Center for Safe Sport, by its own admission, is overwhelmed. They don't have enough investigators to investigate all the complaints that are coming in on a timely basis. There are calls by congressmen to give the organization more money, more investigators. So is the system completely fixed? You know, there are folks who say not so much. I think anytime you allow for adults to be alone with kids, you open the door for potentially for predators. And look, overwhelmingly, the people involved in the sport, there are a tremendous number of really good coaches who coach the right way. But for the bad actors, the framework is in place for horrible things to happen. Do I think we'll ever see a story on the scale of Larry Nassar? Man, I sure hope not. But do I think we will continue to see stories of coaches abusing kids when they have access to them alone? Yeah, I do.
Why did you call this book Start by Believing?
So Rachel Den Hollander, who is a hero, you know, she should get the freaking Congressional Medal. She, of course, was the first woman to publicly accuse Larry Nassar of sexual assault. She filed a police report. And during her first meeting with Detective Lieutenant Andrea Munford, at the end of the meeting, when she wrote down Rachel's contact information on a little sheet of white paper, at the top of the paper, she wrote, "Start by Believing," which would have been a great reason just to name the book that in its own right, right? But we then came to discover that there is a campaign, the Start by Believing campaign. It was started by the organization End Violence Against Women International. The reason being that women, when they report sexual assault, if they are greeted with skepticism, are denied the opportunity to heal. And there's just demonstrable evidence that the outcomes are so much better when family members, police, start from a position of believing. This is such a sensitive topic. And I think if nothing else, Dan and I have really gotten an education into how difficult it is to live as a survivor of sexual assault. And I think we've also, through the advice of women who are a hell of a lot smarter than us, gotten a greater sensitivity of how to report and write about stories of sexual assault. And we're just grateful to so many women who trusted us to do that.
Thanks for talking to me, John.
Mina, thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate you drawing attention to this.
That's the only story I want you to know today. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.